Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, the show that is part of the Simply Luxurious Life online destination, cultivating true contentment, the art of living a life of quality over quantity. Visit the blog, The Simply Luxurious Life, at our simplified URL, tsll.co, or thesimplyluxuriouslife.com to find the show notes for each podcast episode, as well as much more weekly content to elevate your everyday and deepen your contentment. From a Monday motivational post, recipes, videos of the cooking show series, style and decor inspiration, French and British inspired content, and readers' favorite regular weekly post, This and That, which is posted each Friday morning. Now to today's episode.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started.
Welcome to the 316th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today we're going to talk about vitality. And you may be wondering, what is vitality? You may have a general idea, as I did when I picked up a book that kind of spoke to what it is that can infuse our everydays in an intentional way with far more quality and satisfaction that goes far beyond the surface. Initially, when I picked up this book, I was hesitant, and I'll explain why I was hesitant here in a minute. But then I started to look into the book more further. I started to actually start reading it, and I started to realize so much of what she talks about is about elevating the everyday experience each of us has. And that is what is at the bedrock of living a simply luxurious life. And I said, okay, what can she teach me? What can she teach us about vitality? And maybe, because I think all of us learn in different ways. And so if there's a different approach to understanding how to infuse our everydays in a way that elevates them, I'm going to bring as many different ways to you as I possibly can. So hopefully this book will, through this episode, will inspire you or give you ideas on how you too can elevate your life. And so much of it is within our control. So let me begin with a quote. Oh, before I forget, this week's petit plaisir is a Francophile find, and I have loved it. Looking forward to talking about it with you at the end of today's episode. Stay tuned. So let's begin today's episode, how to cultivate a life full of vitality and how it contributes to your overall well-being. I want to begin with a quote from the book. Here we go. Quote, vitality involves intersection with and participation in the world around you. It is not predicated on taking a year off to find yourself. It doesn't require making a drastic change. You don't need to lose yourself in self-reflection. You don't need to overhaul your existence or reinvent your life or wait until the chaos subsides. This comes from the author of a new book, Everyday Vitality, Turning Stress into Strength. The author is Dr. Samantha Boardman. And I first want to get into what is vitality. So vita means life, the root life. And so if we look at that word in full, we think, oh, this is about life and living. It is. What exactly does it mean though? Vitality elevates the quality of each day because we're living those days. We're in those days. Our life is every single day that we live. And it is something you cultivate with your actions, your engagements, and your approach to living. The term or the definition health of spirit is an oft definition of vitality. And in the book, vitality is a sense of feeling psychologically and physically up to task. More directly, she defines it as vitality, the positive feeling of aliveness and energy that lies at the core of well-being. When we invest in our well-being, we invest in improved everydays. Here is a list of things to think about when it comes to vitality. You're going to get the most out of each day. It is created by deliberate actions, and it is associated with positive health outcomes such as productivity, better coping skills when stress and challenges arise, greater mental health, and ability to manage negative emotions. It is important to note that writer and psychologist Andrew Solomon shares, quote, "The opposite of depression is not happiness, but vitality," end quote. And she included that quote at the beginning of this book, and I feel she defines that or proves or supports that throughout this entire book. And so, as I mentioned though, I took a pause when I first saw the title of this book, and let me just share it with you again. The title is Everyday Vitality, Turning Stress into Strength, because, and you probably already know where I'm going with this, based on previous readings, based on conversations we've had here on this podcast and on the blog and research that I've read and through my own experience, we shouldn't be managing stress. We should be assessing and eliminating it at the source when and where that is possible. Because knowing how to juggle 10 balls is not easy, and just learning how to do that better isn't going to make it so you can do other things well. Remove some of the balls so you can really be proficient at what you truly value. And so I did look at that subtitle and go, I'm not so sure. But then I started reading the introduction, and it was clear that much of the stress that is in our lives is actually self-made and thus can be reduced and or eliminated, which is what she does in this book. She talks about how to eliminate it actually, and she actually shares with you ways that you don't even have to welcome the stress that you have accepted as okay. Her book is full of specific approaches backed by research and multiple studies to demonstrate the significant shift and beneficial shift our lives make when we approach our everydays, how we interact, that indeed we do choose to interact with the outside world, and how we hold ourselves as we navigate through our days to do so thoughtfully and intentionally. In other words, how to actively engage rather than passively observe. Today, I'm going to share with you 10 approaches, tips, and tools for improving the vitality in your everydays. There are far more than 10 that can be found in this book. So hopefully today's episode will just be a nice taste of what you will maybe want to explore should you pick up the book. So how do we improve vitality? Number one, reduce the micro stressors. It has been reported that those people who reported a high number of everyday hassles were 3 times more likely to die than those who reported lower levels. Now, they wrote it that way, but I just want to say more likely to die sooner, have a shorter lifespan is how I read it based on the context. So that quote's a little unclear, but the point is you're not going to potentially live a longer, healthier life if you constantly have these microaggressors throughout your everydays. In other words, those daily hassles that up until now you have accepted and put up with because they didn't seem too big. You know, those simple headaches of having to rush a bit throughout your day, but you do it every day. So therefore you're not present with those you love. So therefore you're a little bit on edge. You're a little bit grouchy. Those are little stressors, and it becomes a chronic stress. And we've talked about this before, but we want to get rid of the chronic stresses. We're meant to handle stress. That's why cortisol levels rise. The adrenaline rises so that we can handle moments of stress. But if we keep doing that, our health suffers and our relationships can't help but suffer because we're not able to be fully there, fully open, fully present. So go through your day and just look through it. What are those things that cause you headaches? And they've been causing you headaches for a while, and they're not big headaches. You're not popping a Tylenol or an aspirin or whatever it is you might take if you get an actual headache, but it's enough that it's a bit of a road bump. I like to think of it as I'm on a dirt road. There's a handful of dirt roads around here. And in fact, when I grew up, we live on a dirt road. It's when you have a really big pothole and you know how to avoid it, but you sometimes still get your tire in it. It still gives you a little bump and it jars you and your coffee goes spilling a little bit if you're drinking a cup of coffee while you're driving. And it just irritates you. So it's those constant irritations. You need to find a smoother road. You need to figure out how to get rid of those microaggressors. Every single one you get rid of will improve the quality. You may not be able to get rid of all of them, but you're showing that you're conscious and you're paying attention to what is working and what isn't. And that's number one, reduce the microaggressors. Number two, look at your daily actions. Do they reflect what matters to you? Quote, doing something that feels meaningful or that matters to you and not just thinking about it is uplifting, end quote. A life of vitality requires that we engage, that we be active and thus not be passive. Quote, vitality is a reflection of how we actually choose to live. She italicizes the live here, end quote. Dr. Boardman gives examples of living passively, living a life on autoplay, shrinking from challenges, isolating oneself, dwelling on the past, and burrowing internally. So going within, really just diving deep into yourself. And we'll talk about the balance there because we've talked about how it's important to go within and get to know yourself, but there's a limit. So those are examples of living passively. Often, due to exhaustion or insecurity, we behave in ways that go against our values. Our fears rise up and determine our choices regarding how we engage with others, especially those we love. But when it comes to people we don't know, we jump to negative assumptions because we're exhausted. We want to protect ourselves. We're scared. And so the negative cynicism goes up, whether it's a significant amount of cynicism or just the doubtfulness. There's no way they mean that sincerely. Oh, there's no way they'll do the right thing. There's no way they'll do it well. Part of that comes from you're exhausted and you just can't get to the positive. Those microaggressions add up, your stress levels add up, and the quality of your thoughts, thus your actions, don't mimic what really matters to you, who you really are. From jealousy to doubt to assuming the worst, we let our fears create problems that didn't previously exist, or at the very least, present a self that does not reflect what we value, trust, clear communication, kindness, etc. Reminding ourselves that we can only tend to our tasks and we must let others attend to theirs when we actively decide, rather than, quote, sliding into our decisions, in other words, living passively. These things prompt unhelpful emotions. When we choose to be an active engager in life, in other words, living consciously, being present, we avoid draining our vitality and instead we strengthen it. Because if we're tending to our tasks, and this is something we spoke about in a previous episode, we're reminding ourselves that we have control over us and only us. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I may put boundaries up. I may be clear about what I can or cannot do, but I'm not going to assume the worst in you. I'm going to know that I can take care of myself in the sense of if you behave in this way, I'll step forward towards you. If you behave in that way, I won't. And I'll communicate why if it's a relationship that we both want to move forward with. So look at your daily actions. Do they reflect what matters to you? This requires you to be very, very present, conscious, and clear-eyed about what really does matter to you. That's number two. Number three, engage in micro moments throughout your everyday that boost your resilience. I love her different terminologies only because it's all about the little thing. What you're going to find throughout this conversation today and throughout our book is your vitality increases through very small actions throughout the day. It doesn't need to be huge, grand gestures, which I think makes this more approachable. Quote, vitality is cultivated and enhanced through productive and meaningful actions. Having a good conversation, doing a favor for someone, going for a walk, reading an interesting article, and then calling a friend to discuss it. They are other-oriented. They are outward-oriented. They are action-oriented. They are not internal nor individual, nor do they require sustained self-immersion. On the contrary, they require engagement and interaction. In other words, micro moments are you engaging with life. Waving to your neighbor, saying good day, good morning, simple something is just like that. It's a positive engagement. You stepped out of yourself. You've thought about how what you say, your actions, your smile might do. You don't have an expectation, but you're giving something positive to the world. You're savoring something good. This is where those simple luxuries that I tag on my Instagram feed. If you haven't seen all my pics of simple luxuries, please just search hashtag TSLL simple luxuries. Savoring all these little micro moments that hold you in the present moment and ask you to savor it. Bring more of those into your life. Intentionally bring those into your life. That's number three. Engage in micro moments throughout your everyday that boost your resilience. Four, refrain from retreating into your own head. Okay, I am guilty of this. So here we go. Shannon, take note. Quote, thinking and talking about issues can only take you so far. You can reflect ad nauseum on your internal world, but it's your actions and experiences in the real world that shape you. End quote. This seems obvious when we read a quote like this, as though, well, duh, I have to go out and live in the world to make my world. But this is the thing. If you're only living in your head, if you're only talking about taking action, you're living a passive life. It's scary to live an active life because you don't know the outcomes. I think that's the beauty of it. You don't know the outcomes. You might think you know, you've watched this show, you've read this book, you've watched that person do this in a past experience in your life, so that must be how it's going to go. Doesn't mean you don't carry that information with you. It just means don't let it limit you. Let life surprise you. Engage. Here's another quote from the book. Self-focused attention can be productive in the short term. We need self-reflection to process experiences so that we can learn from them and move forward. But too much self-reflection can result in self-absorption, which can entrench us in ruminative thoughts. When this happens, instead of an oasis of revitalization, getting locked in our own heads can be counterproductive, isolating us from others and closing us off from opportunities that expand our minds, exercise our bodies, and stretch our souls. So again, this is a balance we must strike. We are not saying do not self-reflect, do not, understand why you feel the way you feel. Do that, but set a limit. Again, I come back to Maurice Schwartz a lot when it comes to emotions. You want to feel what you need to feel, but you got to go through it and then move past it. You can't linger or dwell there. You have to move forward and take action after you found the information you needed, or at least a bit of it, because you're not going to find out everything unless you actually put it into action. I say this and I'm talking probably more strongly because I'm talking to myself, as I mentioned at the top of this point. Find a balance. You know when you've gone over the edge of too much thinking. I'm going to say think about it, but that might take us too far in the thinking bit. But my point is, when you stop feeling that you're gaining something helpful and it begins to drain you, and that's when the vitality starts to be lost. That's when you know you've gone too far. All right, so number four is refrain from retreating into your own head. Number five, cultivate uplifts. And uplifts is another one of her terms, like micro moments. Again, these little things that we can do throughout our days to uplift the mood, to make it more positive. Quote, there is increasing evidence that positive everyday experiences and activities that engage, connect, and fortify us are critical sources of vitality, end quote. By being present in our everydays, engaging consciously, we can both appreciate the minor positive events in our everydays and provide them for others in our lives as well. From receiving sincere praise from a boss or colleague, so that would be an uplift in our lives, sharing an unedited laugh with a friend. Hey, your commute home was void of complication. That is an uplift. All of these positive events increase vitality, and by noticing them and appreciating them, we will find even more than we realized were present in previous days. So this is part of the remaining present. This is reminding ourselves to engage and appreciate those little positive moments. But on the flip side, give those moments to other people, because maybe they're aware of how to elevate their vitality. Maybe they're listening to this podcast, read this book, but maybe they aren't. And you're still going to provide a positive moment for them that will fuel them in an energetic, positive way. When we cultivate uplifts, we welcome more positive emotion into our days. And quote, when you're in a more positive frame of mind, you are more likely to interpret a bother as a challenge, end quote. Living a life of contentment is an exercise in holding ourselves in the present, engaging fully, responding rather than reacting. And when we do so, we are not dwelling on the past or worried about the future or anticipating a better future. We are right here, right now, entirely. We notice the beauty, the birds chirping and dancing about, the need to help a colleague by holding the door open for them. We engage with an open mind and thus bring curiosity and a frame of mind to solve rather than complain. Dr. Boardman points out that, quote, sources of uplifts are rarely self-focused, end quote. You are looking outward, engaging with the world around you, the people, Mother Nature, the community. Quote, a study found that people who engage in pro-social actions like donating money to charity or helping another person exhibited greater self-control than those who didn't, end quote. The point being here, you fuel yourself with more vitality to choose well by engaging positively with the world around you. And even better, quote, uplifts are easily generated because they don't require either money or extraordinary circumstances. I like that insight because often we think about, oh, I need to help other people. I need to give and volunteer. And we do it because it makes us feel good, but it actually emotionally infuses our vitality and increases the ability to be even more open-minded, more engaged in a positive way. So we fuel ourselves in a very chemical way in our body, naturally chemical way in our body, by helping other people. It feels good, but there's so much more to that feeling good. It's actually lifting us up. It's actually refueling us. All right. That's number five. I have five more tools, ideas, and approaches to share with you. But first, I'd like to introduce you to a few sponsors. I'll be back in 3 minutes. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. A product that works wonders for curls might make straight hair limp and greasy. For myself, I have fine straight hair, so I want to make sure what I use works for what I want. Thanks to my personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been more happy with my hair. Pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal. Using natural ingredients with proven results, Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros starts by asking about you as a person with their in-depth consultation. Pros asked me questions about my exercise level, how healthy my hair was, my eating habits, and even the climate that I live in. Next, Prost analyzed all my answers and determined what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product of my custom routine. Together, Prost got all my hair goals covered. Receiving their pre-shampoo mask, as well as their smooth and vibrant shampoo that has a clarifying wash, I also received their smooth solution for their conditioner, which will build volume, which is what I need with my fine hair. As a carbon neutral certified B Corporation, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive, Pros is the best hair care you've had. They will take the products back, no questions asked. As a simple, sophisticated listener, Pros offers a healthy hair regimen. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/sophisticate. That's pros, PROSE.com/sophisticate for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off your first order. The Simple Sophisticate is also sponsored by Heat Holders. It's getting cold again, and the best way to keep yourself warm this winter, it's two words, Heat Holders. Heat Holders makes the warmest thermal socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Heat Holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside and wraps warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry. Heat Holders pampers your feet. And they also make hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com and enter the code SIMPLE to save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Remember to go to heatholders.com and use the promo code SIMPLE. That's heatholders.com, making life warmer. Is there something interfering with your happiness? Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private online environment that's also convenient. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. With licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, LGBTQ matters, family conflicts, self-esteem, trauma, sleep, you're sure to find what you need. Everything you share is confidential, and it's time for you to start living a happier life today. As a listener of the Simple Sophisticate podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting the sponsor of our show today, betterhelp.com/simple. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/simple. Welcome back. Let's get back into our list of how to cultivate a life full of vitality. Number 6 is to value social relationships. Quote, when we feel socially connected, little things are less likely to get under your skin. Studies show that a hill feels less steep to climb when a hiker is accompanied by a friend. End quote. I recently was listening to an interview on NPR that was talking about work and reviewing the workplace situation currently and whether or not workers are coming back or staying at home remotely and how to manage them. Within that conversation, they talked about how our workplaces prior to the pandemic, for so many of us, our workplaces were our primary source for where we made our friendships. And the conversation revealed and the study revealed that if our work is the only place for social connection, it can be toxic for our well-being. A better approach is to build relationships in all areas of our life. When you build healthy social connections, you bolster your vitality. From exercising with others, walking with a friend, or attending a class that's in person, to making time, simply reducing the busyness so that you see the people outside of those you have to see when you're at work. And those connections are crucial to vitality, but they often suffer because we're so busy, exhausted, stressed. The list goes on. Our mental health depends on connection with the outside world. The more we retreat, the weaker our vitality becomes. And she really talks quite a bit about mental health and how sometimes the approach has been kind of backwards to how the layman thinks they should handle it, not the experts. The experts are figuring it out. But the idea is when you are weak mentally, you're exhausted mentally, or you know, your mental health has taken a hit, it's actually more beneficial to step out into the world and engage with it. You're not directly hitting the problem if you think you have a problem with something. You're engaging in other ways as a way to free up your mind and to remind yourself of how powerful, healthy, positive connections can be. And we'll talk about a few of those ways here later in our list. But I want to go back to this mountain example because, you know, she cites that studies show that a hill feels less steep if you're climbing it with a friend. I think it's important to point out, she doesn't talk about extroversion and introversion. And I think that would have been helpful. But at the same time, she has a great book and you can't talk about everything. I think what she's done is helpful, incredibly helpful. Knowing you have support when you're climbing that hill, whether it's physically next to you or not, because it depends on what hill you're trying to climb. is powerful. That is revitalizing. For me personally, I don't need to be doing every activity with someone that's difficult. In fact, I prefer sometimes to be doing a challenging activity on my own. But when I know that people I love are supporting me because I've, you know, they know what I'm doing and I've let them know how hard it is or that their support would mean a lot, that fuels me in a very positive way. So I think you can look at this climbing with a friend figuratively or literally, depending on the situation, depending on your temperament. With that said, let's end with a quote for number 6. Quote, knowing you are loved literally lessens pain, lightens the load, and propels you forward up those steep hills, which tells me she is talking figuratively as well as literally. All right, so that's number 6, value and thus invest in social relationships. Number 7, refrain from venting. Quote, venting can feel great in the moment, but doing so repeatedly without any resolution or forward progress can make you feel worse, end quote. I will be the first to admit I thought venting was beneficial for so long in my life. Turns out, not so much. The key is solution seeking. But if all we are doing when we vent is complaining, worrying, and holding on to what happened, we are draining ourselves of the vitality we need to live well. Dr. Boardman goes on to say, quote, excessive complaining and rehashing personal problems with someone else is known as co-rumination and can amplify stress, especially in those who are already feeling down, end quote. While in the moment it may feel good to share or to listen to someone else's venting as we feel we are providing them support and love, and we're getting, if we're the person speaking, we're getting something off our chest, in actuality, the feeling that we seek is fleeting. It's very temporary. What we need to learn and teach others who feel venting to us is helpful, or if we ourselves feel that venting is helpful, is instead become comfortable with discomfort. Understand how to sit with the unknown and trust yourself to move forward well, even when not all is in our control. And I've written a few posts about this, a podcast episode. I will include links to those. How to basically move forward when you don't know how or what the outcome's going to be. Why discomfort is a gift. I've written about that. I'll post that. I'll include that in today's show notes. Seems contrary, but it's true. We actually are helping ourselves out by learning those skills. Because life isn't going to go wonderfully every single day, but it can go better every single day based on how we approach it. How to move past the desire to vent? Well, try self-distancing. Putting space between yourself and what is bothering you, quote, helps to take the sting out of everyday upsetting events, end quote. When we self-distance, we put our ego aside, Boardman points out, and we give ourselves perspective, which enables us to move forward more easily. So number 7 is refrain from venting. We can do it! All right. 8, exchange frequent positive interactions throughout the day. Quote, simple everyday positive interactions are the lifeblood of companionship and connection, end quote. I appreciated Boardman's attention to these in-person connections. Passively engaging does not bolster vitality beyond the temporary moment that we see the text, see the likes on our Instagram post, etc. It is in active engagement, even in the smallest peck on the cheek or lips from our partner as they go out the door to work, that makes a profound difference. The key is frequency, not the gravity, meaning the positive engagement need not be grand. It doesn't have to be a bouquet of roses delivered to your office to surprise you, but rather eye contact while you're talking to show that you are listening, a rub on the back, the touch of someone's hand that you love. These simple things, if done regularly, not the same thing regularly, but these kind of positive interactions regularly, add up and build our vitality to not only have a great day, but strengthen our relationships with those we love and care for. So number 8 is exchange frequent positive interactions throughout the day. Number 9, challenge yourself to maintain or strengthen vitality. It is important to understand the difference between demand shielding activities versus effortful intentional activities. Studies have shown that when we challenge ourselves to learn something new, an intellectual new skill to acquire, a reduction of anxiety results, and it also builds our resilience. So what is a demand shielding activity? These are the things we don't want to engage in as often or at all, depends obviously on the situation. A demand shielding activity is any activity that, quote, requires little of us physically, intellectually, and socially, end quote. From checking social media, surfing the internet, watching TV if we're not learning something new. Each of these are demand shielding activities. To further the point shared throughout today's episode, when we choose to challenge ourselves intellectually, we are looking outside of ourselves for knowledge we don't currently possess, and thus we are not isolating, we are not turning within, which further reduces our vitality. When we choose to learn, as astronomy professor Abraham Loeb observes, we are, quote, giving a higher priority to the world around us than to ourselves, end quote. As well as increasing our vitality, when we learn something, when we stretch ourselves, it is rewarding not only for our brain, but our body as well. It simply feels good to learn and achieve something we hadn't been able to do or understand previously. That positive emotion fuels our vitality. So number 9 is challenge yourself. Number 10, find your flow. Quote, the more flow you experience in your daily life, the more vital and replenished you will feel, end quote. I absolutely loved reading Dr. Boardman's point about the benefits of finding our flow and engaging in this space regularly. While often the term flow, being deeply immersed in what you're doing so that you're not thinking about anything else, is associated with creatives, artists, etc., the truth is, flow is any situation in which you are fully immersed with the present moment and not thinking about anything else. You are all in and savoring it deeply. An engaging social interaction, for example, a walk with a loved one, or on your own, in which the surroundings and or the company have your rapt attention. Understanding how powerful flow can be gives us permission to prioritize doing what holds us in such a place. Find your flow, see your vitality rise. So number 10 is find your flow. Dr. Samantha Boardman addresses many more tools for increasing our everyday vitality, so I highly recommend you check out her book, Everyday Vitality, Turning Stress into Strength. A more obvious yet often forgotten or dismissed way to increase your vitality is to prioritize a deep, restful, regular night's sleep. Also, she reminds that those of us who compare ourselves to others weaken our vitality, making us less happy. And while it's good to have high standards, she suggests keeping them attainable is also key. Most importantly, she underscores the importance of engaging with the world. She concludes her book by reminding to, quote, turn away from the mirror and look out the window. Even better, I hope you'll throw open the door and venture out safely into the world, end quote. Of course, I read this with introverts in mind, especially because I'm one myself, and I know many of those listening are as well. And I wholeheartedly agree that action and social engagement and healthy social relationships are key to a life full of vitality. The key with social engagement is to be open to a variety of different types. Introverts often prefer more one-on-one engagement, and we need to honor what feeds our individual temperaments and not force someone else's definition of what social engagement is upon ourselves if it just doesn't feel life-lifting. Listen to yourself, get to know yourself, and then challenge yourself to step away from looking too often inward. As we said earlier, self-examination is healthy, but it has its limits. And engage with the world so that you can live. Many of us have been made aware of a needed balance of social engagement and time in our own company as well to refuel as we were forced to go from one extreme to the other when the pandemic hit. Find your happy balance now. Come to understand why it works for you and intentionally hold yourself in the present, looking for and cultivating positive moments, those uplifts and micro moments, along with frequent positive exchanges. I am confident you will begin to see an improvement in the quality of your everydays. The vitality component is entirely in your hand. Invest and savor what you have nurtured to be of value. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode. I enjoyed this book. I was more impressed with the book as I was going through it, as I mentioned. And so I saw that it was more a parallel to what we speak about often here on the podcast and the blog about contentment and elevating and strengthening the quality of our everydays. And I think that just having that intentionality about our lives, focusing on our everydays and really nurturing them, has some amazing outcomes if we can appreciate how those small things really add up. Not just for ourselves, as she talks about. I think this book was really helpful when it comes to relationships and those simple everyday connections. I think we could learn a little bit from our French counterparts, have longer lunches, fewer to-dos, and thus deeper relationships and more memories that we want to savor. All right. I have a petit plaisir to get to with you, and I'll be right back to share that. This week's petit plaisir is a French mystery series, Magellan. They just recently released season 4 on MHZ Choice, a streaming service for primarily French shows, but also other European shows as well. And I've chosen it for this week's petit plaisir because, well, I've finished it and loved it, and it just gets better with each season, in my opinion. And there's more new episodes that are dropping every single Tuesday until the end of December. So I wanted to bring it to your attention if you haven't been watching it, because if you're a Francophile, you want to brush up on your French, but you also want a dependable storyline with every episode. It's a cozy mystery, I would say. It's not gory. It's not dark. There's a playful side to it. Then this is a series for you. It's a French series, as I said, set in Seignac, a southwestern France town, which is near Bordeaux. And the lead character is, as you would imagine, Commissionaire Magellan, or Inspector Magellan. He is a lead detective. He's the one solving the new murder mystery each episode. And this series debuted way back in 2009, and it's still going. The fourth season, they take a couple years in between each season, depending on all sorts of factors, I'm assuming. And the fourth season, as I mentioned, was just released on MHZ Choice this November. That season, season 4, was actually released in France in 2019. And so what we're getting here in the States is the subtitled version. So it takes them some time to adapt it for countries outside of France. And here's what I love about it. The balance of seriousness on the job and the playful family life. That is what has kept me enthralled with this series. As I mentioned, it just gets better with each season. The first season, you found Magellan in his home raising two young daughters along with solving his mysteries. And he is this divorced father. The second season, the youngest daughter, Cordelia, they switch actresses up here. But from this season on, it stays fairly steady with characters and the same actors and actresses playing them. Cordelia is the youngest daughter, and the oldest daughter has been written to have gone to school in London. And she actually returns in the third season in a fantastic episode. As the series continues to unfold, a third temporary house guest stays with them, each one being humorous in their own way, adding all sorts of chuckles and watching Magellan's betwixt facial expressions as their house guest says something or does something that makes his home life a little bit unexpected. It just reveals even more the strong relationship of trust that he has built with his daughter, Cordelia. Their relationship is pretty fun to watch. It's very trustworthy. It's very mature, and it's playful as well. The first house guest joins them in season 2, and it is the city prosecutor, actually. So someone who Magellan works with on a regular basis. And he stays for a season and a half. The second house guest, who is currently living with Magellan, and as we are in season 4, is his cousin, or his Cordelia's cousin, Ludo, who is his sister's son, who's in his mid-30s, and he's absolutely hilarious. As well, on the mystery-solving side, Magellan's partner is Lieutenant Baroya, played by Selma Cauchy, and she is a savvy, fit, don't-dare-try-to-outrun-her detective in her own right. And the two's exchange of respect for one another and repartee is dependable and enjoyable throughout every single episode. And I appreciate that. Magellan never brandishes a gun, and he relies solely on Selma, the lieutenant, to be prepared, while he, without fail, though, always has her back to apprehend a runaway suspect, even if it is his perfectly timed use of his vehicle to open a door, block a pathway so as to blockade or trip up the suspect. It's these consistencies that make this an enjoyable, cozy mystery to watch. It's not goofy anyway. I wouldn't say that. The home life is playful, as I said, but it's just something enjoyable to watch at night. It's not, I would say it's light, much lighter than Midsummer Murders, for example, but it's not goofy like Agatha Raisin, even though that's a playful one and a fun one to watch too. So it's kind of in the middle of those two. As well, one more detail about the series. I particularly appreciate Magellan's relationship with his partner, girlfriend, journalist Florence, who writes for the local newspaper of Signac, the Sentinel. She is smart, she is respected in her profession, and the two have an equal partnership, not beholden to tradition. Yet it's full of support, sincerity, and respect for each other's career and life. So when you sit down to watch, expect for each episode to begin, once the murder has taken place, of course, with Magellan and his daughter Cordelia, along with whoever their current house guest is, enjoying breakfast in the morning, either in their garden, outside their home, or at the kitchen table. There are croissants and tartines, café au lait. It's just a simple everyday setting every single episode. Then his phone will ring, Lieutenant Selma is calling, and he must report to the murder scene. From there, the episode unfolds. And all the while, we pick up on a bit of our French language, as the series is subtitled, as I mentioned. If you too are all caught up on the four seasons and all the episodes that they've released so far, look for a new episode to be released for season four every single Tuesday. So tomorrow, November 16th, a fourth episode for season four will be released, and they have 10 episodes in this new season, which takes us all the way to the end of December. You can watch on MHZ Choice directly or via Amazon Prime. Subscription is just under $6 a month. And I will link that, both of those options, on the show notes. You can check those out. TheSimplyLuxuriousLife.com/podcast316. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each episode where I'll recommend a book, a film, a show, a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. I want to thank you for tuning in today. And again, the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast316 for information about the book, Everyday Vitality, and the Petit Plaisir Magellan. I also want to remind you to stop by the blog and check out the holiday gift guide. It has been a great success. It's full of more than 60 items, mainly Francophile finds and Anglophile finds. And if you are a top tier member, you have until this Wednesday, November 17th, to enter the giveaway to win an advent calendar from La Maison de Chocolat that is worth more than $75 in value. And I will be sending that to the lucky winner after the 17th. So it arrives at your house before December begins. I have a brand new episode coming next Monday, November 22nd, so tune in for that. Until then, thank you for tuning in and have a wonderful brand new week. Bonne journée. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, The Simply Luxurious Life, with the shortened URL, tsll.co. For more in-depth exploration of how to cultivate your own unique Simply Luxurious Life, be sure to pick up my first two books. Each are available in hardback, paperback, ebook, and at Audible for audio listening. The first is titled Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, and the second, Living the Simply Luxurious Life. And look for a third book to be released in the spring of 2022. Readers can now join the more intimate Simply Luxurious Life international community by becoming members of the blog, which provides ad-free, unlimited reading and access to exclusive content such as each month's A Cup of Moments video chat, tours of my home, Le Papillon, the regular monthly post, What Made Me Smile, and Saturday Ponderings, as well as the opportunity to enter all of the giveaways during French and British weeks. To stay caught up on all things Simply Luxurious, the podcast, blog post, and the cooking show, as well as receive exclusive news and an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your new month, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's free monthly newsletter, which arrives on the last day of each month. And there's a weekly newsletter, a favorite of listeners and readers, which is also free and arrives each Friday to keep you caught up on the recent weekly posts on the blog. Enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a cup of morning coffee and stay in the know about all things Simply Luxurious. Thank you for tuning in today, and look for two new episodes of this podcast each month on the first and third Monday. To be alerted to new episodes and when they become available, follow on Instagram, the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, and only the news about this show will be shared. Until next time, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonne journée.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.